in the world today, we see that there is not a whole lot of peace going on, is there? There is not peace. There is not, calm, people getting along. No, it's in chaos. It's in uproar. Look at the Middle East. I mean, look at Ukraine. Look at our nation, the United States itself. There is more and more violence, more and more people being split on issues that really don't, matter for our salvation, do they? I mean, the thing is, we need to get the message out there that Jesus is our hope. He is our peace. You know, many times we go, I can remember the first time that I think I decorated a tree with Nanette. I am not a decorator, and I will continue to say that I am not a decorator because I'm not. I put things where I think they should be. They may not look good to a person who is a decorator. Nanette is a decorator. And so the first time we put a tree up together, I'm sure there was some, if I remember correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, but there was some things that, didn't go in the right spot, and it wasn't a very peaceful time, and she had her way of doing it, and I had my way of doing it, and I was like, it really gets to be, and it's not supposed to be. Christmas is supposed to be a time of peace, right? I had nothing to do with that tree. I'll just tell you that right now. People kept coming up to me and asking me. I'm not a decorator, okay? I don't want to get into the decorating mode. I love Christmas. I love what it stands for. But right now in this world, it's admittedly hard to imagine a world of complete peace, isn't it? It's hard to imagine because we've been living in a world where there is no peace. So trying to imagine that, what it would be like, wow. Even when you focus on your own family, it can be difficult to imagine a conflict-free week of peace and tranquility, let alone an entire world filled with peace. I mean, if you got kids, parents, you know what the house gets like. There's always bickering. There's disagreements. There's fighting. there's no tranquility. So we know what that's like. And as our example of decorating a Christmas tree shows, even simple tasks, even as simple as decorating a Christmas tree, often dissolve into conflict and frustration. So, what's the trick? What's the answer here? What's the remedy for this? Would you be surprised to learn the answer to peace resides with Jesus? If you would, turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9. And we're going to begin in verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So in this passage, we see that Isaiah is prophesying again about Jesus, this time calling him the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and the Prince of Peace. See, the government Jesus is in, that he's in charge of, will never stop growing and will never run out of peace. In a world filled with conflict, this is obviously hard to imagine. But what does this mean? And how can we embrace the peace of Christ in the midst of it all? Well, I can't think of anyone better to learn from than the Prince of Peace himself. Amen? Let's see what Jesus has to say. To begin with, let's see what Jesus says to his disciples in John chapter 16, verse 33. Turn with me there now. John chapter 16, verse 33. John 16:33. Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. First of all, Jesus has been telling the disciples all about how he has to leave them and how there's so much more that he wants to share with them, but he can't. He's also promised to send the Holy Spirit, which they obviously cannot understand yet either. But listen. Listen what Jesus is telling them. What Jesus is telling them is the truth. He's letting them know what's going to happen to them. And at the end of the chapter, at the end of chapter 16, we get, in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Now, some 2,000 years ago, Jesus shared these words with his disciples. And the truths he shared then are just as relevant today. In many ways, we have the added bonus of knowing Jesus, that Jesus was telling the truth all the time. We know we can trust him. And we know he died and rose again and ascended to heaven and defeated death. Now, having peace in Christ means believing in and trusting all he did. It doesn't mean you'll have a conflict, problem-free life. In fact, your allegiance to the kingdom of heaven puts you in direct opposition to the world. You can expect trouble to come. You can expect it. It means that you can have peace deep in your soul, no matter what trouble comes your way. Now, deep abiding peace is something difficult to understand. In his letter to the Philippians, the Apostle Paul gives us a glimpse into the peace-filled life. If you would turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, Paul's letter to the church of Philippi. He writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So, in every situation, whether good or bad, we present our requests with thanksgiving to the Lord. We present our requests with thanksgiving, with gratitude to the Lord. And as we let go of things and give God the power, something amazing happens in us. And more often than not, in the circumstances themselves. See, we trade our anxiety for peace. We trade our anxiety for peace. Fear for rejoicing. Suspicion for faith. And amazingly, divinely, miraculously, the peace of God that we have in Christ guards our hearts and our minds. Friends, this is a deeply personal, difficult to articulate peace. I want to tell you a story of someone in our historical past, a Christian. His name was Horatio Spafford. Anybody know that name? Wow, you guys will be surprised here in a minute when I tell you who he is. Horatio Spafford, a successful lawyer and devout Christian in the 19th century, he faced a series of devastating tragedies that tested his faith and revealed the depth of God's peace. In 1871, Spafford experienced a profound loss when the Great Chicago Fire destroyed much of his real estate investment. Devastated by, but determined to rebuild, Spafford invested himself in helping the city recover. However, the most heartbreaking tragedy struck in 1873 when Spafford's four daughters were traveling with their mother on a ship to Europe. A collision at sea tragically claimed the lives of all four girls. His wife, Anna, was rescued and sent a telegram with the heartbreaking words, "Saved alone." Amidst this overwhelming grief and loss, Spafford turned to his faith in God. Despite the unimaginable sorrow, he penned the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." It is well. How many of you know that song? "It is well with my soul." The lyrics of this hymn express a profound peace and trust in God's sovereignty. We love that song when we pray that, we sing it, we worship to it, we sing it before prayer. It is well with my soul. I have peace. The lyrics of this hymn express a profound peace and trust in God's sovereignty. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. The peace that Horatio Spafford experienced wasn't a denial of the pain or the absence of sorrow, but a deep-seated trust in God's goodness and faithfulness despite the circumstances. He found a peace that transcended the storms of life, guarding his heart and his mind, enabling him to proclaim, "It is well with my soul." Spafford's story serves as a powerful testimony to the peace that comes from an unshakable faith in God, a peace that can sustain and comfort even in the midst of profound loss and sorrow. His unwavering trust in God's goodness and providence continues to inspire and encourage many facing their own trials and tribulations. Have you ever read through the Gospels and found yourself marveling at all the different situations that Jesus found himself in and how he always seemed to keep his cool? Yet, I don't know how many times I've read the Gospels. That one thing just continues to you know, I meditate on it. I'm just like, wow, imagine yourself in some of those situations. How would you respond, right? How did he always seem to keep his cool? You know, think about it. Really, just think about it. Meditate on it. He was interrogated by the leading Jewish leaders of the time. On multiple occasions, the crowds tried to grab him and kill him. And on top of all of that, he willingly chose to travel day in and day out with a man who he knew would betray him over to death. Remember Judas? He traveled with them day in and day out. The Last Supper, right? He was there. What was it that Christ knew that we don't? Really, think about this for a moment. Think about it. What did Christ know that we don't? Now, I realize he was literally God incarnate, and that he probably knew billions of things that we don't. And I think we can all agree on that. But the point I'm trying to make is that Christ had complete and total trust in who he was and what he was doing. He trusted the Father. And because of this trust, because of his faith, he was able to have peace in any and every situation. It's a powerful truth. And Jesus has this kind of peace for you and me too. Listen to what Jesus tells the disciples in John chapter 14, verse 27. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Friends, peace is a gift of Jesus. It's different from the things that the world gives. And just like any other gift, it's your responsibility to receive it well. Now, what have you received from the world lately? What have you received from the world lately? Let me ask you this. Are you ready to receive peace today? Are you ready to receive that? As we discussed last week, we have hope because of who Christ is and what he's promised to do in and through our lives. He is the light that shines in the darkness. And we can share the light of Christ with others by sharing the hope that we have. But today, friends, we know that we can also have a peace that transcends understanding by letting go of all that troubles us and giving it to the ever capable hands of Jesus. In return, his gift is peace. Divine peace. Soul-quenching peace. What do you need to let go of today? What do you need to let go of today? What do you need to place into the hands of Christ? What do you need to do today to receive his gift of peace? Let's go ahead and come before the Lord. As we close in prayer. And during this time, maybe there's something that you want to give up. Maybe there's something that has been giving you some anxiety or worry or trouble. You need to let go. Let's do that now. Let's come to him. Father God, Lord, as we stand here in the midst of this season of anticipation and preparation, we acknowledge the challenges that often cloud the peace that this time should bring. Thank you for guiding us through this reflective journey today, using something as seemingly simple as decorating a tree to remind us of the conflicts that can arise in our lives. We come before you recognizing that true peace comes from you alone. Your word reminds us of the promise of a Prince of Peace, Jesus, who brings an everlasting and unparalleled peace to our lives. Lord, in the hustle and bustle of this world, conflicts are inevitable. Yet you have promised a peace that surpasses all understanding. Help us to internalize this truth, to anchor our souls in your promises, and to trust in your sovereignty, even in the midst of turmoil. Grant us the wisdom to embrace the teachings of Jesus, who forewarned us of trouble, but assured us of his overcoming power. May his words resonate within our hearts, reassuring us that in him we find ultimate peace. And as the Apostle Paul reminds us, help us to rejoice always, always, to be gentle, and to present our request to you with gratitude, allowing your peace to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We thank you for the gift of peace that Jesus offers us, a gift unlike any other this world can give. Help us to receive it wholeheartedly and to release our burdens into your capable hands. Lord, as we conclude this time together, may the peace that surpasses understanding dwell within each of us, transforming our hearts and guiding our steps. In the precious name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, that we pray. Amen. And as you leave today, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.